Thank you. Am I on? Yeah, we're rocking. Thank you, Lexi, and thank you, Pastor Chris, Joe, JR, and Leslie for leading us in worship. They did such a wonderful job this morning, did they not? Y'all can give them a hand. So grateful for them. You know, there's songs on my heart this morning. It was playing during we have a prayer time at 10 a.m. We were debating on the name of the song. The name of the song is Fear Is Not My Future. Has anyone heard that song before? Yep. Well, if you were in prayer, you heard it. If you weren't here at 10 a.m., maybe you haven't heard it. But here are some of the lyrics. Hello, peace. So this is a song written by a guy named Brandon Lake, I believe. I'm scrolling to see if I even got the... This is a huge song. Holy cow. Now I'm at the bottom. Brandon Lake, Hannah Shackelford. It's a cool name. Jonathan J. and Nicole Hanel, or Hannel, or Hannibal. No, that's not true. Yeah, let's drop it. Now we're getting a little weird. It is Halloween season, though, so you can get a little weird. Now I'm ruining this whole point of saying this. This is why I don't usually do this, but here's the chorus. Hello, peace. Hello, joy. Hello, love. Hello, strength. Hello, hope. It's a new horizon. And, you know, there's some of you who came in today, you're searching for the peace, joy, love, strength, and hope. And I hope, you know, you are in a boat of everybody else in the room. We all hunger for these things. Myself, I hunger for these things. I come into the house on Sundays desperately wanting to experience all of these things that Jesus promises to be and wants to be this for your life today. And that's our prayer, that you experience peace, joy, love, strength, and hope. If you came in just wanting, hungering for a new horizon in your life, you're in the right place. Not just because you're at Sunrise City. You could be in any church house this morning. You're in the right place because it's one kingdom. But we're grateful you're here with us this morning and just praying that you experience that today. In fact, I want to pray that right now, Father. I pray for the ones that came in hungering, searching for that something. They know something's missing, but they're searching. They're hungry for hope, peace, joy, strength. They want a new horizon. We know that based off Luke 1:78, which describes Jesus as the sunrise from on high, they've come to the right place today, and we are asking that you would speak to them right now. Whatever it is you want to say, it's up to you. You've given us a word from 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, a word that we believe in, but we know that you have a word for every individual in the room today. So would you give them just the word that they need and that they are hungry for? I'm in the same camp. I need a word from you today. And I want to leave here changed, and we want to leave here changed more like you. It's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen. We're preaching a message today that I've titled Christian Ministry for Everybody. Christian Ministry for Everybody. That means whether you're a pastor in the house or you're just sitting in the chairs, that's not a just, but you're sitting in the, you're literally, all of you are sitting in chairs. I'm the only one standing other than my brother Christian and then Seth, who's got a camera and he's taking a picture right now. Can y'all give a hand for Seth? Yes. He is the greatest photographer of all time. And if you're a photographer in the house, you're the greatest photographer of all time as well. So, because I know we have some of them. But we're all called to Christian ministry. It's not just the pastor. It's not just those up here on the stage this morning. Every single one of you have a calling on your life to minister. It's part of who you've been called to be, to pour into the lives of others. You may say, well, I'm introverted. Well, congratulations. You can be an introverted person who's really good at ministering and loving on the people around you. If you're extroverted, awesome. Ministering for you may be a little bit easier. I don't know, but you have been called to minister. But your calling, the ministry that we're all called to, takes place first and foremost out of deep intimacy with God that overflows. In fact, I'm gonna skip way ahead and go ahead and give you the main idea of the message of today. Minister out of the overflow. So we are called to first and foremost wholeheartedly give ourselves to God, and within the deep intimacy that grows with God, we overflow and pour into the lives of others. I was blessed to go, I've already referenced, I even got Jackson Hole. I happen to be wearing a Jackson Hole hoodie, and I'm about to talk about Jackson Hole again. So now we're all about Wyoming now, because this wasn't planned. Here's what went through my mind. I wore one hoodie last week, and then I have to mix it up, or someone's gonna say, you wore that hoodie last week. This is my world that I live in when I wake up in the morning. But we were on this wonderful, the last two times we've been to Wyoming, we've stayed in the same house, and it's connected to this just beautiful, magnificent neighborhood, these huge homes. And this is the sign that we're getting a little bit older, is when we flew into Wyoming, we get our rental, we get to the house, the first thing we do, we're like, let's go for a walk. Like, yeah, I mean, back, you know, when you're 22, 23, it's like, we're going out, you know, when you're where we are now, it's like, let's go for a walk. Who's excited for a walk? So we go on this walk. It's a lovely, beautiful neighborhood. And one of the features of this neighborhood are there's a couple different creeks that run through the neighborhood. I have one of the pictures here for you there. That is Pastor Chris. Can we give a hand for Pastor Chris? You can go back to Pastor Chris. Let's go back there. Let everyone cheer for Pastor Chris. Greatest worship leader, worship pastor of all time. But behind Pastor Chris is a creek. And I decided to show this picture because you're not even going to really see the creek. You're just looking at Chris drinking a nice sparkling beverage, a sparkling water. And that creek behind him is called Lake Creek. That wasn't supposed to be funny, but it is. It's Lake Creek. Lake Creek, I went on Google and I tracked down. I did this a couple years ago and then I redid it today. Lake Creek connects to something called Fish Creek, and Fish Creek actually flows into this monster river called Snake River. And if you're out in Wyoming, you know Snake River. Everybody knows Snake River. There's Snake River everything. There's Snake River Grill House that we actually ate some wonderful steak from. It is wonderful. I probably butchered the name of that. Lovely, lovely river, and it's huge. It's magnificent. But Lake Creek actually gets its water source, as far as I can tell on Google, as I was on my phone, just like tracking, comes all the way back to Phelps Lake, and we have a picture of Phelps Lake for you. That's the next picture. Now, is this not a beautiful lake? Yeah, it's pretty. And at this point, this was a couple of years ago, actually. Obviously, we're all standing there, and we're about to embark on a very hard journey. And that hike kicked our butt. And the hike we did a few weeks ago kicked our butt. But our house, actually, staying, it's somewhere over here. So Lake Creek at some point kind of trickles down, and we're somewhere over in that way. And I just thought it would be good if we could give some heartfelt gratitude to Phelps Lake. Can y'all do that? Thank you. Yeah, thank you, Phelps Lake. Thank you. Yeah, I don't really know why we're doing that. Because Phelps Lake, rather than just kind of stay to himself, Phelps Lake chooses to overflow and pour into several different little creeks. And then here we are 15 miles down the way, walking through this wonderful neighborhood. And because Phelps Lake, in all his glory, is beautiful, because Phelps Lake chooses to overflow, we get to experience what is a very lovely walk, because Phelps Lake overflows into Lake Creek. And the point of the overflow that every single one of us are called to is just that. When we choose to overflow into the lives of others, everybody gets to experience the beauty and joy and wonder ultimately of the God that we grow in intimacy in. And this comes from John chapter 7, verse 38. Jesus says, "The one who believes in me, as the scripture has said, will have streams of living water flow from deep within him. So streams of living water flowing from deep within, that's pointing to a continual satisfaction, source of satisfaction that we find in God. But then at the same time, it's life for you. This is what keeps you going day in and day out as we face a lot of difficulty. But then it's exactly how you're going to be pouring into the lives of others. We often talk that, and this is probably not the first time you've heard that you're called the minister too, that you're called to serve people too, you're called to love people too. It's we're all in this collectively together, but often you'll run into burnout in ministry or in just pouring into the lives of others because you're not ministering or loving on people out of the overflow of your heart. You're doing all of it in your own strength and it wears you out. I mean, it torches you. I've done this in my life over the years pastoring this church. There's times where I'm ministering really out of like a necessity, like I have to do this. So I have to meet with this person. And this isn't any individual I'm thinking of. No one's going through my mind, but I've had times like, man, I gotta go have coffee with such and such person and it's just gonna wear me out. And that starts to creep in and then I'll start feeling tired and exhausted and not resting right. And next thing you know, I'm not ministering out of deep intimacy with God and out of the overflow of my heart. It's all in my own strength. And boom, there comes burnout. Now burnout can happen in several different ways, but this is one of the primary ways when you're ministering out of your own strength. Imagine this. Imagine if someone came up to you today, someone from Jackson, Wyoming, I don't know, construction company or something. Anyway, they were like, hey, we have to dam up Phelps Lake and your job is to supply the water that Phelps Lake was supplying to Snake River. So you got to figure this out and you need to do it on your own. Here's some buckets. You'd be like, that's insane. Like now there's one person in the house today. I won't say his name. He's already probably engineering the whole thing in his head, how he would do it. But for most of us who are engineers and don't think like that, don't live and go to bed thinking stuff like that, we're like, that's an impossible feat. You would give it 30-second try and boom, you're done because you're burned out. We're called to minister out of the overflow. And this Christian ministry that's for everybody has to be done out of the overflow of our heart, of our deep intimacy with God, and there's too much of the other thing happening within the church, and it's not healthy, and it won't work. It will just burn you out. It will burn the church out. It's not how we've been called to live, and everybody has to struggle with this. Thankfully, Paul in 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, when he's actually giving a defense of his ministry to those he's writing to in Thessalonica, if you recall last week, we said there's several people that kind of questioning Paul and his ministry, whether he even should be ministering, whether he truly loves God, all those sorts of things. So Paul gives a defense of his ministry, but within Paul giving a defense of his ministry in 1 Thessalonians 2, we actually catch a glimpse of what ministering out of the overflow looks like. So that's how we're going to approach the text. If you remember expository preaching, or you could go exegetical preaching, which are some of the primary ways we preach here. We could go verse by verse, word by word, go into the deep context. We're kind of taking a broader approach on this expository approach to Scripture. And so I want us to look at it like this. Paul, we know, ministers out of the overflow. What does that type of overflowing ministry look like? What does it produce? So that's what I want to do today in 1 Thessalonians chapter 2. We're going to read verses 1 through 12 and just look at it that way. How does Paul minister? What does ministry for Paul look like? And how does this apply to me? What would this look like for me, knowing we're all called to minister? Here's what Paul says. For you yourselves know, brothers and sisters, that our visit with you was not without result. On the contrary, after we had previously suffered and were treated outrageously in Philippi, as you know, we were emboldened by our God to speak the gospel of God to you in spite of great opposition. For our exhortation didn't come from error or impurity or intent to deceive. Instead, just as we have been approved by God to be entrusted with the gospel, so we speak not to please people, but rather God who examines our hearts. For we never used flattering speech, as you know, or had greedy motives. God is our witness, and we didn't seek glory from people, either from you or from others. Although we could have been a burden as Christ's apostles, instead we were gentle among you. As a nurse nurtures her own children, we cared so much for you that you were pleased that we were pleased to share with you not only the gospel of God, but also our own lives, because you had become dear to us. For you remember our labor and hardship, brothers and sisters, working night and day so that we would not burden any of you. We preached God's gospel to you. You are witnesses, and so was God, of how devoutly, righteously, and blamelessly we conducted ourselves with you believers. As you know, like a father with his own children, we encouraged, comforted, and implored each one of you to walk worthy of God who calls you into his own kingdom and glory. I want to look at three things today from this text, and then I want to close a little bit about how do we make sure we're ministering out of the overflow. So we're going to look at three, just note three things from the text of what ministry, when we're ministering out of the overflow, what that looks like. And I want to talk a little bit about what could be some hangups in your life that's preventing this, I hope is real applicable for you today. Number one, the willingness of ministry. On your screen, the person running ProPresenter is like, it says the cost of ministry. You see that? That's because I changed this. The willingness of ministry. That's what I want you to write down. The willingness of ministry. So you could write the cost of ministry and then put an X through that and put at the top or bottom the willingness of ministry. But that's the point, the willingness of ministry. But there's also a point of ministry is costly. And we learned last week that there's a labor of love that we've all been called to. It's costly. It was costly for Paul. You see that in verses 1 and 2 of chapter 2. For you yourselves know, brothers and sisters, Paul writes, that our visit with you was not without result. On the contrary, here's the cost. After we had previously suffered and were treated outrageously in Philippi, as you know, we were emboldened by our God to speak the gospel of God to you in spite of great opposition. There's a cost to ministering. There's a cost when you open yourself up to love and care on the church, when you're vulnerable to someone else, when you love on them with a fatherly or motherly love, when you care for them like they're your own brother or sister, when you lean into people, there's a cost. There's a cost for Paul, real opposition, real persecution when he loved on the church in Thessalonica. But there's a cost for everybody when we lean into others, when we love on others like we have been called to do. It can be risky, and Paul knew that. He leaned in anyway. And when you choose to lean in, remember, there should be a willingness of ministry in our lives. You should be willingly leaning into one another, willingly leaning into the church. When you willingly lean in and you know the result could be difficulty, calamity, struggles, attacks from the enemy, maybe persecution. When you know that, that's when your true character is revealed. And that's how we know Paul and his companions were truly men of God and people of God. That's how we know the church in Thessalonica, people of God who loved God, who had deep intimacy with God, because they willingly leaned in to God and to others, to Christian ministry, knowing it would be costly. Now, it's a little easier when you recognize the great cost that Jesus took on for our salvation, but that's what we see. There's a willingness of ministry in Acts 16. We know that Paul and his companions, or Paul and Silas, they were publicly beaten, stripped of their robes, thrown into jail. It was an unjust treatment. What happened to Paul and Silas? Unjust, shouldn't have happened, not even within Roman law. Didn't prohibit that kind of treatment. It was scandalous, but Paul actually gives us some good news, is that in the midst of being, how he says, outrageously treated in Philippi, he actually says they were emboldened by God to speak the gospel of God to them in spite of the great opposition they were facing. They kept on pressing. The source of confidence was God and of God, not of themselves. We talk a lot about evangelizing, and we talk a lot about serving the church, and probably do a fault at times. I remember back when we first planted Sunrise, probably every week during hosting or during the announcing time, there was always like, we need more help. We need you to serve. And it's for the glory of God. You know, we need you to give. You know, it's kind of like, if you don't do this, we're not going to make it. But we're not saying that. And then there's a low Sunday, and we're like, we need you to invite. And then you try to make an awkward joke because everyone notices it's low. And there's all sorts of things like, we need this. Look, we talk about this all the time. This is the life that we're called to live. And you, sometimes at a fault to ours, we would take the blame. You may walk out of the building even today thinking like, oh my goodness, I'm called to minister and love on everybody. You know, the Christian ministry is for everybody. And I'm looking at my life and I'm like, my life is anything but ministry to the people around me. I'm supposed to be loving and I'm hateful. I'm supposed to be joyful, but I'm sad. Like, you know, I'm supposed to be a person of peace, but I'm a person of anything but peace. And now I'm supposed to minister. And then you walk out of here, your thoughts are all over the place like a spaghetti brain, thinking, what in the world? Like, I have so much to do. And what I hope you're hearing today is, no, you do not. The only thing you need to do is recognize the work that God wants to do in you through deep intimacy so that you can overflow and love on others and lean in, willingly lean in to the people around you and serve God in his church. You see how that works as a burden that kind of lets off. This is a struggle for me though. Oh, it's a big struggle for me. I have drive, I'm pretty hard type A. And when I set my mind out to do something, I'm gonna do it. Well, unfortunately, that's not at all what we've been called to. So don't walk out of here feeling way down and burdened. Walk out of here recognizing how much God loves you and the work he wants to do in and through you if you would only let him. There should be a willingness to lean into the ministry even though it's costly. Second, I hope you see the motive of ministry. Paul had pure motives. He had such pure motives in how he led and ministered to the church. Starting in verse 3, he says, "For our exhortation didn't come from error or impurity or an intent to deceive. Instead, just as we have been approved by God to be entrusted with the gospel, so we speak not to please people, but rather God who examines our hearts. For we never used flattering speech, as you know, or had greedy motives. God is our witness, and we didn't seek glory from people, either from you or from others." Do you see the motive of ministry? Pure motives. And when you minister out of the overflow, it produces pure motives. When you don't minister out of the overflow, you probably have some incorrect motives. When you're not serving God and his church just out of deep intimacy with God, you're probably doing it for a lot of other reasons. It's not even a word. Idiot. Pure motives. Piper. I love our daughter Piper. And sometimes lovely Piper will go to the zoo, and every time we go to the zoo, it's the same speech, like, you need to behave, we're at the zoo. If you want to play on the playground, if you want ice cream, you need to behave. And then Piper, sometimes we show up to the zoo, and she becomes like the greatest daughter on the planet. Yes, sir. Yes, ma'am. We might be walking, feeding the giraffes. Oh, I love you, daddy. I'm like, thank you, but I know you want something. You know, oh, you're so, this is so, mommy and daddy, I love you. She knows, I think I'm the only one that really likes riding the train at the Gulf Breeze Zoo. I don't know if you've been to that. I love that train and the chimpanzees, especially if you go in the winter, they'll give them sheets and they'll like, curl up in sheets, like a sheet's gonna keep, I don't know why they do it, but I love these things, the hippos and the little small hippos, like, it's a cool thing. I think I'm the only one that really wants to ride the train. Piper never wants to ride the train, but oh, daddy, we can go ride the train, you know? And then we finish up and we're getting close to the gift shop, and I love the Gulf Breeze Zoo, but they rebuilt and did some things where now you have to go through the world's largest and greatest gift shop. That's how you exit, and it's huge, and we get in. Daddy, I love you, and she'll be like this. This is the only time, like, can we please get something? And I'm like, no, Piper, we don't have the money. And that, you know, that's partly a lie when parents say that, because sometimes I'm like, we have the money, but we're not doing that today. And we can't do that. And then the yes, ma'am, no, ma'am, yes, sir, no, sir, I love you turns into, bah! Like, angry, pure motives. Her motives aren't pure. And as the father, I know your motives aren't pure. You just want something. And unfortunately, the next time we go to the zoo, I've told her we can get this little dragon. It's going to be perfect behavior, not for pure motives. It's because she wants something from her father. We're called to have pure motives in every way, even when we minister to one another, love on one another, how we're called to should be from a place of pure motives. Just not like out of obligation. Now I'm doing this just because of an overflow of my heart. I have to do this. I'm spilling in to others pure motives. Paul, when he exhorted, it wasn't from error, wasn't for impure reasons. He wasn't trying to deceive. The message he preached was true. And the love, the way they loved people and served people and pointed people to the way, it was all pure. And you've got to answer that question. Why do you minister? Is it out of the overflow? Is it out of a true love for God and for people? Even today when you serve God and his church, is it out of the overflow? Because that's the type of serving and ministering we want happening here at Sunrise. It's just out of the overflow, not out of obligation or you know you're supposed to be obedient by serving God and his church. But here's the thing. God knows your heart. Just like as Piper's father and just the fatherly discernment all fathers typically have, I know when it's like this is fake and when it's not fake. Look at what Paul says. Instead, just as we have been approved by God to be entrusted with the gospel, so we speak not to please people, but rather God who examines our hearts. God knows your heart when you serve. He knows my heart right now as I'm standing here preaching. If I'm not careful, I'll really start to overthink that. Like, God, what am I, why am I saying this? Is it just to be funny? Is it to, I'll start just like thinking through, but pure motives is what we want in the church, not people pleasing, pure motives. Amen. There's too much people pleasing in this world and too much people pleasing in the church, I think. We just serve just to please people. Want to make people happy. Want them to like us. Maybe you do hear a need and you're like, I'm going to serve just because the pastor said there's a need. And so, see where we're going wrong? It sucks the life out of the church. There's too much people pleasing. And it's not just sucking the life out of the church. That's the world we live in. A people pleasing world. Look on social media and it's saying, I'm not going to go on my spiel about why I'm not on Facebook or all that. But it is a people-pleasing world because you don't update about the arguments. You don't update you take 50 pictures. Well, I take like two or three with my wife, but some is like 50 pictures and you pick out the perfect one. You're not going to pick out the one where so-and-so's picking their nose. You're people-pleasing. You want to, maybe you want to be the influencer. I don't know, but it's sucking the life out of the world we live in and it's from a deep-rooted insecurity people live with, and the one place that should not be going on is the church, who we acknowledge we're full of imperfections, and we're not here to impress anyone. We can just be who we are. Don't you love that about the church? We can just be who we are. You don't have to impress. Just be you. And that's what God calls you to be, to just be you. Over the years, I have grown more and more grateful, hear this, for church members who love and serve well, but are honest when they've hit their limit. Back when I was younger as a pastor, and I know I'm still a young pastor, it'd kind of be frustrating, like, God, no, we need you. Like, now's not the time to quit. The older I get, the more grateful I am when a loving servant of this church says, I've hit my limit. Because I know that is from a heart that wants to love and serve God, and they don't want to live life just trying to please people. So I'm grateful for that. We need servants in the church, but we need servants who are serving out of the overflow, deep intimacy with God. So if that's ever you, if you're like, I'm feeling tired, I'm feeling burnt out, I think that's too much for me, by all means, please say it. It more and more so ministers to my soul because those are members that are going to be here for the long haul. The ones that are just doing it just to do it, you'll burn out. You'll burn out quick and you'll learn. Do y'all know Tiger Woods? I didn't know his name, real name's Eldrick. There's an interview with Tiger back at the beginning of his time And he was being interviewed by a golfer, and the golfer was like, "What's your goal?" He's like, "Well, I want to win every tournament." And the PGA golfer was like, "That's a little arrogant, you know?" And the guy looks at Tiger Woods, and he's like, "You'll learn. You'll learn what it's like." I don't know why I just said that, because I just thought, "You'll learn." That didn't work. It's a funny interview. And maybe you'll think, though, that you'll learn if you're ministering for the wrong reasons or attempting to love people for the wrong reasons. It's not out of deep intimacy with God. You'll learn. You'll learn the hard way, but you will learn what it means to minister out of the overflow. And then the opposite. We cannot do this while living in the flesh. Romans 8:8. Write it down. Those in the flesh can't please God. So if you want to minister out of the overflow and deep intimacy with God, you can't live in the flesh. There is a life that we've been called to live that should be righteous and holy and blameless and not living in the flesh. So if you want to get this right, stop pursuing the flesh. And I know that's easier said than done, but this is the way that Paul lays out for us, and this is how Paul did it, and this is how he had longevity in his ministry, and why so many of the Christians before us, especially in the early church, who died for the sake of the gospel, it was an overflow of intimacy with God. And it's not just actually seeking to please God, but you're living a life that is actually pleasing God. And there is a difference between the two. Don't be freaked out by the reality that God's examining your heart and he knows your heart. Be encouraged by it and lean into him more so that you can learn more about how you can minister with pure motives. Thirdly, notice the manner of ministry, just how this actually plays out day in and day out. We see that starting in verse 7. Although we could have been a burden as Christ's apostles, instead we were gentle among you as a nurse nurtures her own children. We cared so much for you that you were pleased, that we were pleased to share with you not only the gospel of God, but also our own lives, because you had become dear to us. For you remember our labor and hardship, brothers and sisters, working night and day so that we would not burden any of you. We preached God's gospel to you. You are witnesses, and so is God, of how devoutly, righteously, and blamelessly we conducted ourselves with you believers. As you know, like a father with his own children, we encouraged, comforted, and implored each one of you to walk worthy of God, who calls you into his own kingdom and glory. That's the manner of ministry. We talked about the willingness to lean in, even though we know it's costly. We talked about the motives. You need to embrace the cost, minister with pure motives. But now we see the manner and how this actually looks. And notice Paul talks about the burden. He talks about a burden that he didn't want to burden them. Understand that when Paul's writing, you know, we kind of view Paul, we're like, that's Paul, right? If Paul walked in, we'd be like, first of all, it'd be like, the dude just came back to life, number one. I don't even know where his body is, but we'd be like, okay, this something's happening, you know, like something's happening in the house. But for real, if Paul walked in, it'd be like, holy cow, the Apostle Paul. Well, at this time too, the Apostle Paul had a reputation. Like, this is one of the founding members of the New Testament church. And Paul chose to never use his position of authority to lay on them. He always set it aside, didn't come seeking his own glory, laid it all down. And we see that this led to him being gentle. Like Paul's wording, I nurtured them as a mother nurtures her own children. I've written many letters to church members, have never written that. Like, I want to nurture you like a mother nurtured. Y'all would probably be like, this is getting weird. I'm glad you're loving, but that's weird. That's the gentle spirit that Paul ministered with. And it starts with a deep intimacy with God, the overflow. And this is the manner that we've been called to minister. Gentle, give ourselves away in a gentle way. We don't think of ourselves above the others that we minister to. Notice Paul was selfless. He and his companions were selfless with their time. They gave of themselves. They preached the gospel and lived it out. They were hard working long hours. making things for money, didn't burden the church fully with their financial well-being and their support. And then, of course, righteous, blameless in their work, not perfect, but above reproach publicly and privately, and then fatherly. He loved and encouraged and comforted and implored them to live a godly life as a father does with his children. So, six things to think about, and I don't have them on the screen because I want to close with the intimacy with God part. Six things to think about. We want to willingly embrace the cost of ministry. We want to minister with pure motives. We want to minister with gentleness. We want to minister with selflessness. We want to minister with righteous and blameless behavior, and we want to minister with the heart of the Father. But we came into the building saying Christian ministry is for everybody, and it begins at a place of overflow, but that's the problem at the same time. So the solution to ministering how we've been called to and love on people the way we've been called to, the solution is minister from the overflow, out of the overflow of deep intimacy with God. But that's the very problem, is many of us came into the building today, we're not overflowing with a love for God, which is bleeding into a love for others. Now our tank is real low. And when you don't have overflow, you're going to struggle to minister how God's called you to. I read this. If you're struggling with intimacy with God, it begins with trust. We know Proverbs 3:5, trust the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. Listen to this. Intimacy with God. If you're struggling with intimacy, I know this hit me. I hope it hits you the same as it hit me. I read it this way. Intimacy with God often occurs in the places where we must trust him most. And we've all got areas in our life that we're unwilling to let God have control of or trust him with. And we hold on to those. So we're called trust in the Lord with all our heart, our whole heart, every bit of who we are, we hand that over to God. And that's really where intimacy is birthed in our relationship with God. But if you're anything like me, you've got a lot of other things over here in another basket of things you will absolutely never trust God with. And until you can say, God, you can have all of me, you're going to struggle with this overflow of overflowing love for God that pours into the lives of others inside and outside of the church. So what are you holding on to today that's blocking that? Maybe, again, you've experienced salvation, true salvation. And it's like, to me, that glorious Phelps Lake, which it's one of those, like, you got to see it to see how cool it is. I know you're like, it's just a lake. Well, you haven't been to Jackson Hole then, so you don't know anyway. But if you know, you know. And those of you who have truly experienced salvation, you know. It's one of those, if you know, you know. So you've received the grace of God. But maybe some of you got all these issues of trust in your life and you're damming up any possibility of overflowing into the lives of others. And that's a trust issue. So you got to let go. And God will help you do that because he's for you. He's not against you. This is how he chooses to love and minister to his church. It's through individuals. It's the miracle of the gospel that he works this way, and he wants to work that way in and through you right now. But then some of you, you don't know. So you're like, you're saying, if you know, you know, if you have salvation, you're like, I don't know. I've never experienced the glorious grace of God and the mercy of God. I've never tasted and seen that the Lord is good. If that's you today, you've got to lay it down. It's time to lay it down at the feet of Jesus and just cry out to the one who died on the cross for you, declaring how much you need him in your life, and he will indwell your life and change your life and use your life for the sake of the kingdom. God, we thank you for this word you have given us today. We recognize that Christian ministry is for everybody, not just a few individuals in the church, but everyone who participates in a family of God and is a part of that family is called to minister to one another. May that be Sunrise City Church, but may it be done out of a deep intimacy with you and an overflow from our love for you. That's what we need. That's the refreshing kind of ministry. That's the difference between I'm loving and serving out of obligation compared to I'm loving and serving because I can't help it. I've got so much overflowing out of me. I can't help it. I've got to lean into this. And I pray for the one who has no life in them. They are dead in their sin and they need you. Would you help them trust you for the very first time today? We love you. It's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen. Hey, you can go ahead and stand up. Our worship team is going to come up here and lead us in another song. And if you're thinking you need Jesus today, I would love nothing more than to walk you through what that looks like. I know I've referenced them several times. We have Jorge and Charlene over here to my left. They would love to walk you through what it means to follow Jesus. If you need someone to pray with you, I'm here. They're here. We'd love nothing more than to minister to you. But let's continue on in our worship this morning as the team leads us.